name?
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Round Table. On 95.7, the game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the saint, Gary St. Jean.
What's up, folks? We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable on a special Monday show. We usually try to do this Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, but you got the Warriors back-to-back tomorrow and Wednesday. And I got a field hockey broadcast on Halloween. So we're doing it on a Monday night here, reminding you that the Warriors 2024-25 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. Kevin Dan alongside Gary St. Jean. And Gary, we got to start with the injury news. The vibes will be tested for this Dubs team after the great start to the regular season on the road with the wins in Portland and Utah. Steph Curry getting banged up against the Clippers last night. An MRI he underwent late Sunday night. It showed no structural damage, confirmed the injury as a left peroneal strain. I hope I'm saying peroneal correctly. He will be reevaluated on Friday. And then DeAnthony Melton exited the Clippers game with 4:25 to go in the fourth quarter. He underwent an MRI on his back post game. No structural damage, thankfully. Strain lower back. He will be reevaluated on Friday. And Saint, we're about to see just how deep this team is. Obviously, a great start to the season, Clippers game aside, but those are two big players, and one big player in particular who will not be available for this back-to-back with the Pelicans.
Well, you know, Steph, he's battled, you know, ankle issues for a lot of years. You can see, if you take a really good look down there, he's got some serious, what I call, braces on, and I'm not going to call it a tweak. I think it's more of a turn, but I think it's a positive that it's a guy who's had a lot of these. He knows how to take care of it. He'll get great physical therapy from the crew in the training room. And I'm hoping it's, you know, reevaluated Friday and be maybe back by the next week. But it's a shame because he is the guy, and it all revolves around him. And, you know, I think he's really excited about this team. I think he likes the chemistry, the culture. He likes the depth. He likes the attitude, the effort. And so let's hope he's back kind of quick. And in regards to Melton, this is lingering. He's had that with Philadelphia. And I just hope the heck he's okay, because that guy there, we're not even getting a full dosage yet. That guy there has a heck of a skill set, Kev. And he could be a significant contributor as the Warriors go forward here.
Yeah, and he's been pretty good when he's been in there. He hasn't exploded onto the scene like a Buddy Hield, and we'll talk about Buddy a little bit later, but you can see what he can do for this team. Obviously, Steph is the headliner here, and I know it's only been three games, and I think this is what we've all expected, is that when he's been healthy, Steph is still Steph as he enters year 16. He's averaging 18.3 points per game this year, and he's played 13 seconds in the fourth quarter all season. Those 13 seconds coming last night against the Clippers when he tried to test out that ankle and realized that, and it turned it again after turning it in the third quarter, shooting 41% from three, nearly had a triple-double in three quarters in the season opener. I mean, it had been a really good start to the season for Steph, as we all expected, but you know, you always kind of wonder in the back of your mind, if someone enters their mid to late 30s, Steph at 36 years old, how much longer can someone keep it going? LeBron is obviously kept it going until I imagine when he turns 40 in 2 months, that his magic powers are not going to be completely zapped. So, but it's something you wonder about when someone gets this late into their career. And I wasn't concerned about it going into this season, and nothing's really changed from what I've seen in those first three games.
Kev, you know, for both of those guys, they prepare. They take care of their body. They take care of the engine. They keep it at a high-octane level. And that takes a lot of time and effort. They need help as they grow older from their teammates. And the Warriors seem to have a beautiful blend. We're going to talk about who has to step up now as we go forward this week. But you like what you see in terms of the depth. The Lakers are not as deep, and Davis is playing phenomenal. But LeBron had a phenomenal fourth quarter the other night. But he doesn't have the ball in his hands as much as he used to. They're really playing through Davis. And we're going to see Steph consistently double-teamed. And then it's going to be opportunities for the other guys. And I think we're both kind of high on the potential of some of these guys to really step forward this year.
And you're listening to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. Hit us up, 888-957-9570. You can talk to us about your concern level with the Steph injury, any other Warrior topic you want to discuss. Again, that number, 888-957-9570. All right, so let's discuss who needs to step up in Steph's absence. And I'll start with this, Saint. How do you tweak the starting lineup, and what kind of changes do you make with Curry unable to go for, at the very least, tomorrow and Wednesday?
Yeah, I was thinking Melton's going to be out. But I thought, you know, you'd have to sit as a staff and talk about he and Podzimski, I think, would be the main guys to discuss. I think they like the role that GP2 is in. You know, coming off the bench, being a catalyst, being just a great defender. And, you know, with that said, if Melton can't go, I think it'll be Podzimski. And you know what? That guy there, boy, he doesn't play like a sophomore, second-year guy. He just has a great feel for the game. His defense, to me, the way he takes charges in there is just beautiful. The shot, he's going to keep getting better there, but he's a good facilitator, and you just never question his effort.
Yeah, he's 1-for-14 on threes this season. I'm not worried about that. And I'm never – obviously, he's probably going to have to score more, at least in these next couple of games with Steph out. But I'm not necessarily too worried about points from Podzimski. I feel like that's just something that's going to come for him with the way he plays the game. I mean, some of the footwork that he's had on display, there was that one against Utah and then one last night where, I mean, it's just like old school low post footwork, or as Shaq would say, feet work, to get himself a couple of buckets. I mean, and he's still taking the charges. He's still drawing charges. It's been pretty impressive to watch, especially the footwork on the offensive end for Brandon Podzimski.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with guards going down there now. I like it. And the old mouse in the house statement, if you got a little guy or a poor defender and you got a game down there, absolutely go down there. And you know what? Just feel the ball going in the hoop, whether it's down in the post, off of a drive, off of a free throw. And then eventually the three ball is going to come. And a smart player realizes that the three maybe isn't going like he wants it to. So you find other ways to be a contributor.
All right, I want to posit another question to you, because I was reading Marcus Thompson's article, the great Marcus Thompson of The Athletic, about, you know, after the game, about how the vibes are going to be tested for the Warriors, and with respect to the starting lineup. So we're pretty much in agreement. Pods will probably be in there. Do you make another switch to the starting lineup because Steph doesn't have that gravitational pull? And to get more shooting out there, would you consider putting Buddy Hield, who figures to be a sixth man for this team long-term this season, but Marcus Thompson was suggesting put Buddy Hield in the starting lineup next to Podzimski just for spacing purposes. Is that something you would consider?
And I would throw Moody's name in there.
Okay.
You know, it's a very it's a discussion you have to have. Because, you know, Kuminga's not shooting the ball great. And he's got to understand with his three ball, it's a lot better off a catch than off the dribble. And, I think that I've said this and I've been saying it for a long time. He's got to step up. It's time. And I love the way Wiggins is playing. Wow. Different things, different games. I mean, what, 13 rebounds in Utah with the Utah game. And he's just aggressive. That's what I like. Yeah, so he's playing terrific. So your debate there is if you want to make a change. And I think Kuminga would be the guy you'd discuss to get another shooter on the floor. And I tell you, I really feel good about Moody because I like what Hield's bringing off the bench. I like it. We're going to discuss his game last night at length, and I'll give you kind of a funny that NBA guys talk about with shooters like him. But I think they're very capable of getting this done. It'll be a hard game. It's a team that has, you know, played without Valanciunas. They're playing almost centerless, and they're kind of copying. It's Willie Green, his old assistant coach here, kind of copying Steve. And I think they're very dangerous when they've got, you know, Williamson in the post.
Yeah, we will talk about the Pelicans a little bit later on the show. Just quickly, back to the Clippers game, Curry injury or not, that didn't decide the game. And I know what I said about the Clippers on paper, and I do believe I did chase it last week with they'll be better than people give them credit for. This is a feisty Clippers team, and it's already showed. I mean, they win at Denver, yes, the night before. Ty Lue's a great coach. And, you know, to borrow a Rasheed Wallace term, both teams played hard, but the Clippers played harder and I thought were clearly the better team last night.
They deserve to win. The Warriors beat themselves with the turnover game. You know, we all talk about their size, but yet they continue to rebound well. It's turnovers. That's just a nemesis. And here we go again with a home loss. Now you have to compliment the Clippers, you know, without Leonard. I knew Powell would step in and play a heck of a role, and we all know Harden. Zubek has taken his game up another level. The Lakers gave him away a couple years to them, and to his credit, he's really playing terrific. Derek Jones, you get him from Europe coming over. Great leaper, defender, and Chris Dunn defending. I am going to tell you that you're spot on about Ty Lue. I have him as one of the top... I don't know, probably 3, 4, 5 coaches in the league. The thing that I'll share with you is my old pal Jeff Van Gundy's on the bench there.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great hire. They work together with USA Basketball. And his defensive game plans are terrific. I see great effort on the defensive end by those guys. And I thought that was the key to their win. And I'm surprised they're playing this well, but I should have known better with those coaches.
All right, we'll take a timeout when we come back. More on the loss of the Clippers, and we'll relive the great road trip to start the season right here on the other side of this break on 95.7 The Game.
Sir Kevin and Sir Gary welcome you back to the Warriors Roundtable.
Launches a three. Gucci!
On the valiant 95.7 The Game.
Don't miss Kehlani's Crash World Tour live at Chase Center on November 2nd. That's this Saturday. Get your tickets now at chasecenter.com. Back here on 95.7 The Game, Kevin Danik, Gary St. Jean alongside. If you want to talk about the Warriors, hit us up, 888-957-9570. Again, that number, 888-957-9570. And just touch up a couple of things on the loss of the Clippers last night. Gary, you hit on the turnovers, 21 of them. I thought some of those were the Clippers playing great defense, and I thought many of them, like always, were completely self-inflicted. And as Brandon Pajemski threw a one-handed kind of jump pass out of bounds, I was thinking to myself, not only has Steph inspired a whole generation of kids shooting deep threes, but he's inspired a whole generation of throwing passes the way he does it. Except the difference is those kids aren't Stephen Curry. Look, Brandon Pajemski is a great NBA, a great player. He's in the NBA. He's a big-time contributor in the NBA. But even Steph makes a couple of careless turnovers like that in a game. And if Steph is going to make that turnover, more often than not, or more likely than not, other people are going to make that kind of turnover as well.
Well, the problem is we've got so many kids watching the NBA right now, and who the heck are they following on the Warriors? And they've seen it for a lot of years. You know, the old adage, when you got two hands on the ball, you can pull it back. But when you got one hand on it and you're starting to throw that pass, and you say, you see that defender, and you go, whoop, and you can't pull it back. And boy, that happens every single night in the league. There is a place for it. But it's something maybe to put in the back pocket, because turnovers are just, they're deflating. They really are. And that's got to get better. This team is really passing the ball in terms of touches. They're getting 300-plus a game, and that's terrific. Changing sides of the ball, dribble penetration to the paint, kickouts, and then the extra pass. I've got a good shot. Kevin's got a great shot. Automatically goes to you. But the turnovers, they hurt you. They really do. My biggest thing when I read the box scores are the assist-turnover ratio. Now, if you can get 30, the Warriors have a phenomenal record when they do that. But when you're above 15, you're flirting with trouble. I don't care if you're home or away. And it's a problem, and it's got to be. I'm not trying to take the mindset of being assertive and aggressive when you've got the ball, but you got to take care of it. That's paramount.
At the NBA level, to your point, Gary, you'd like to live around a 2-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio as a team.
Exactly.
Last night, 19 assists, 21 turnovers. That's 0.9 assist-to-turnover ratio. So well below where the Warriors need to be. And they had like 73 assists combined in their first two games. 35 assists, 15 turnovers against the Jazz on Friday. 38 assists against the Portland Trailblazers in that big-time win. So we'll see. Obviously, the Clippers, even though many thought, including us, that they were going to be one of the three teams perhaps not in contention in the Western Conference for a play-in spot. They've been feisty this year, 2-1. Another thing about that game, I think it, at some point, and this is just kind of me armchair quarterbacking and philosophizing, even though I'd never had anything to do with an NBA coaching staff or a roster. At some point, I feel like the Warriors had to crest the hill, and they never did. Like, they cut it to 1 or 2 points time after time after they started to trail in the second quarter, and they just could never tie or take the lead. Yep. And personally, now, this is why we have you on the show, Saint, because you actually know things like this. But personally, I think that wears on a team if they're just coming so close to taking the lead or tying and never doing it. I think that could be a bit of a burden.
Well, I think you're spot on about deflating at point. Here's the deal. What do coaches preach? Give me multiple stops in a row. Can we get two? Can we get three? Can we get four? And then you feel an energy, and you feel a togetherness, and then invariably you go down there, and you get a good shot, and you knock it in, and you get on a little. You know, my old pal, Mr. Mo, is Mr. Momentum, and you get that on your side, and you just feel terrific about the way you're playing. But if you keep going down and matching with the other team, or you miss and they make another one and you're just climbing up, that's deflating. It is. It's just the mental side of the game.
The Warriors Community Foundation auction presented by Cash Creek Casino Resort is now open. All proceeds will support the foundation to positively impact youth organizations of the Bay Area. Go to warriors.com/auction to place your bid. Here on Warriors Roundtable on 95.7, the game, and with that loss to the Clippers, Saint, the Warriors are now an even 500 at home, dating back to last season. 21 up, 21 down, just something that you would never think would be possible in the Steph Curry era from basically his fourth season on, just with how good the Warriors have been and how good they have been in front of a great Warriors crowd. But 21-21 in their last 42 home games.
Well, I'm going to give my 1-minute lecture again in the NBA. You got to win 30 at home and go 500 on the road. Then you got a 50-win season, and you're feeling really good about yourself. You're not in the play-in. You're right there in one of those top six spots. And it's just got to be done. I was laughing about this. People ranting and raving about the Intuit Dome or whatever they're calling it down there in Clipperland. And some player said, I thought the Warriors had the best visitors locker room in the Chase Center in the whole NBA. But now it's the Clippers visitors locker room. Well, maybe we've made the locker room too nice for the visitors. So they're feeling terrific when they come here and play. And
yeah, well,
I don't know. That's a tough one for me.
Yeah, I mean, you would know this better than me, Saint, but wasn't that the thing about the Boston Garden back in the day that the visitor's locker room was just god-awful?
Well, how big is your closet? That's about the size of the locker room. And you know what? I was so privileged to be with Nelly for 12 years in Milwaukee and with Golden State. And here he is, five rings with the C's. And they treated him, we'd go for a shoot-around, they'd deflate the basketballs on us.
Oh, jeez.
Then Nelly would walk around the floor and show the guys where the dead spots were. But then we'd go in the locker room. This is the best part. We'd go in there, and if it was the spring, we were playing them in the playoffs, they'd have the heat up to 80, and the windows were locked with nails, so we couldn't even open them. Then if we went in the winter, it would be freezing in there. And then when you want to hang your clothes up, you hung them up on a nail. And I'm serious. You hung up. That was your locker, a nail. And then there were two showers, and invariably they were cold as heck. The stories about going there were amazing. And then Red would, you know, greet Nelly with a big hug and that kind of thing. But he'd have to get a little edge. Got to get a little edge. And that's Red Auerbach.
Yeah, I imagine you can't do that anymore.
No, I don't think you'd get away with it now.
Yeah. So they've been doing a Deflategate for quite a while there in the Boston area, it sounds like. But to brighter topics for Golden State, and we touched on it a little bit earlier, at least you did, Gary. Andrew Wiggins has been shot out of a cannon to start the season. I mean, the first game, he has the 20-point game against Portland.
Yep.
Then he did it with the defense and rebounding against Utah, a regular season career-high 13 rebounds against the Jazz, and then he basically kept the Warriors afloat. I mean, it was automatic for him, bucket after bucket against the Clippers late to get them within one. 29 points on 15 shots, 5 of 8 from deep. It's just been a great start to the season for Andrew Wiggins.
Now, I don't know if he's going to shoot it that well, but gosh darn it, he's played terrific. He's got me excited, and I'm really happy for him. You know, there's been a lot of stuff off the floor, his dad passing away and, you know, missing a lot of time. But I love the way his body looks. I saw him smile last night early in the game with Steph. That smile on his face went beyond ear to ear. I loved it. He was so happy out there. And it shows you the potential that he has. He to me... The number two spot is right there. We can get the ink out and write it on the board. Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins, and I'm just thrilled for the guy, and he's going to be a big key cog for this team this year.
Yeah, obviously it's been a tough last season and a half, I would say, for Andrew Wiggins, because he got started off really. He started off pretty well in the 2022-23 season. Then he got hurt. And then there's the family matter, which obviously, unfortunately, his father passing away earlier this year. That was a part of it 2 years ago, and then a part of it last year, dealing with family issues. But he has played very well to start this season. Another guy who's playing well, especially in the first two games, is Buddy Hield, a.k.a. Buddy Buckets. And you've heard a lot of talk about him feeling like this is the freest he's felt since he was back in college at Oklahoma. Let's hear from Steve Kerr on what Buddy has done so far, and then Sane, I want to get your thoughts on what Steve said and what you've seen from Buddy Hield so far. So this is what Steve Kerr had to say about what Buddy has done so far and what he brings to the team.
It was incredible watching him that first half. He just, he brings so much energy to the floor. You know, part of it is the way he plays, just, you know, seeking those shots and seeking the threes and sprinting the floor. He runs so hard both directions and sets a tone for us. And then the other part is he's just an incredible person and teammate, full of joy. Bench is laughing, you know, all the time with him. What he brings to the team goes way beyond, you know, just his shooting, but that's massive in and of itself. So we're thrilled to have Buddy.
Kev, I'm going to go back in my day. The game was slower, so you always looked at matchups. And there were certain guys you could attack. And you'd just go at him and go at him, and finally the guy would get taken out of the game if you were able to score. Well, at the beginning of Buddy's career, that's what people were trying to do to him, because he's on the scouting report, he's not a stellar defender. And the game now is so open and free-flowing that as long as he brings the effort, and Steve makes a great point about him running both ways, not just getting out on the break, but getting back in transition. Frankly, he's gone up and down the floor at a pace that I hadn't seen from him. And to his credit, he's really working at it. Now, I'm going to tell you something that coaches used to believe in. A guy can shoot you in, or a guy can shoot you out. And last night was an example. He's a shooter, and he's just looking to the next shot. Even if he's missed five in a row, he's going to shoot the next one. So you have to handle that as a coaching staff, because some nights he's going to be on fire. He's going to get 7, 8, 9. Then there's going to be other nights where it's just not going down for him, and you got to have a chat with him, or you got to say, hey, you know, we're going to go in a different direction here. We're going to put Melton in or somebody else. Because he sees green, the green light. And this system that the Warriors are using with early offense, changing sides of the floor, if you're a small and when you get down, you come out off of back picks or pin downs, it's beautiful for him. So he's really excited, and I'm happy for the guy. Yeah, now there'll be there's going to be more shots available now. Watch out.
Yeah, I mean, the Clippers did a great job defending Buddy.
Did.
He somehow got off 9 threes because he was never open. But yeah, as you were saying, he's a guy who's going to look for his shot. And I thought maybe after he got that 4-point play in the second quarter that things were going to start to fall for him a little more. Unfortunately for the Warriors, he could not get it going last night. But it has been a great start to the season for Buddy Hield, who's been a hit on the court and a hit in the locker room as well. Jonathan Kuminga last night, I mean, it's an early... It's just been three games, but it probably was his best game of the season. I remember Bob Fitzgerald said as much on the TV call. They're going to need more out of him. Last night, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals. I thought he took a couple of questionable shots, but more or less played with the most energy we've seen from him this year. And you mentioned it earlier, the threes off the catch, those are the ones you'd like to see Kuminga take. There were a couple times he tried to kind of shake his defender off the dribble. I remember one early in the game when he hadn't gotten into much of a rhythm, tried to take one off an in-and-out dribble for a right-wing three that didn't go down. Those are the ones that you like to see him take less of. But he was good from three in the preseason. 1 of 9 from three, obviously a small sample size. But what have you seen from Jonathan through the first three games, Saint?
Yeah, I think you've summarized it great. Go to your strengths. Stay away from your weaknesses. So he had a tip dunk. And, you know, when he's playing downhill, he's a heck of an athlete. He's in the upper echelon of the athletes in the league. And he can live off of that. There's been a lot of guys that have, you know, had great careers with that. And, you know, the shooting, you're right on with the threes. You know, you got to... In the game itself, you got to read the defense and take what's given. Don't force play. If they play off you, then you shoot it. If they crowd you, you take them off the bounce. Which way are they pushing you? They're pushing your baseline to your left, and if that's the case, you know, go there and you got to get back to your right hand, fine. But it's still a work in progress for him. But, boy, he has a heck of an upside. He brings you athleticism that's really, really special.
It is special athleticism that he has for sure. And again, he has had slow starts this season before, and then he'll get into a groove where he's giving you 18, 20 points a night on pretty much night in, night out. I think eventually those points are going to come, and maybe for Kuminga at this point, it's just focusing on playing with energy to start the game. And then if you start from a place like that, which we saw on Sunday against the Clippers, then that's maybe when the points will start coming, when your mind is focused on, you know, getting out in transition, guarding the heck out of the ball, which he did a pretty good job of in spurts last night with those three steals, and then take it from there.
You know, Kev, you can get robotic. You can overthink. It's an instinctive game, and you have to trust your instincts and read what's going on out there. And he's got enough experience now that should be at the forefront. So I'm looking, you know, tomorrow, these next two games, he can really take a step up. You know, the Steph's going to be out. But don't force it. Let it come to you, and then you take it to the rack. And there's nobody around the next couple games that are going to stop him.
Well, hit us up, 888-957-9570, if you want to chat with Gary and myself and talk about the Warriors here on Warriors Roundtable. Well, before the loss to the Clippers, it was a fantastic start to the season for Golden State. First team in NBA history to win their first two games by 35-plus points, beating the Blazers by 36 and the Jazz by 41. Of course, those two teams very likely in the Cooper Flag Ace Bailey sweepstakes this year. But one of the big things from that road trip, the 12-man rotation. Steve Kerr said he couldn't justify playing just 10 with how well everyone had played in the preseason. Obviously, it looked very well the first two games of the season. Now, guys will get squeezed out from time to time, saying Kyle Anderson played just 4 minutes in against the Clippers, and Steve was really happy with his professionalism on the bench and his demeanor in that game, really rooting for guys being very into the game and intent, but this team is very deep, and it showed against the Blazers and the Jazz.
Well, Anderson just has a reputation as a pro's pro, and he's been a lot of places, and there's going to be a need for him. And what I love about him, he's a multi-position player, and he's just got such a high basketball IQ and one of the great nicknames in the NBA in Slow-Mo. But you're right, Kev. Now, there's going to be some more minutes with Steph out. But again, I just see this team night in and night out. They're going to be there for 40 minutes, 42 minutes. Who is going to finish the game? And how is that all going to come together? You know, who's going to earn that time and trust? And that's going to be an interesting equation. Maybe that'll break down to like 7 guys. But during those first 40, you might play 10 or 12. And, you know, the old adage, you gotta leave your ego at the door when you come in the locker room. Because even Steph played less minutes in those first 3 games, and he was okay with it. And if the, you know, the Hall of Famer is okay with it, then other guys just kind of fall into line. And it's tough for the coaches, too. That's not easy, because now you're so locked into trying to see what rotations, what groups play best together. I used to laugh with Nelly. The guys on the bench, they never knew. They never knew when the heck they were going in. They took their warm-up bottoms off because they had to be ready to run to the scorer's table. Because he might look down and you haven't played 2 or 3 games and he'd say, Mokeski, get in there. It was amazing. And he just had a feel, press the button to have the right guy go in and be a contributor. I don't know if you're playing this many guys that you can have a set like saying, okay, Kev, you're coming in at the 6-minute mark. And then saying you're coming in at the 2-minute mark. I just don't see that you can do this. You might have a thought process as, okay, we're going to sub for these guys. These are the first 3 or 4 guys. But it's tough for both, all parties. But I sure am loving watching it. I think it's great.
Were you referring to the great Paul Mokeski there, Saint?
Yeah. Big Mo was with us for a number of years in Milwaukee and then here in Golden State. And you talk about a guy who got the most out of his ability. He'd just go in there and, you know, he couldn't block a shot. He just knocked the guy on his keister. He'd set great screens. He'd box out so another guy could sky up there and get the rebound. Just a fun guy. I there's so many of those guys. And, you know, the good news as you get older, Kev, I really don't have a great recollection of all the wins and all the losses. But I sure do remember all the great guys.
I'll tell you, Paul Mokeski was a head coach in the D-League with the Reno Bighorns.
Right.
The very first year, the very first first season that the Santa Cruz Warriors were in the D-League. Actually, the first ever game that the Santa Cruz Warriors ever played was against a Paul McKeskey coach team in the Reno
Really?
Bighorns. So, yeah, that's
Wow.
There's your Paul McKeskey D-League knowledge for you. I had a great time with his son at the craps table at Silver Legacy.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
well,
yeah,
when he was living in Alameda, that little guy was about 2 years old.
Yeah, I met him probably 25-30 years after
beautiful.
That, but yeah,
that's
no,
beautiful.
Good dude. But you mentioned now that the looking for kind of that finishing five, and that could change from night to night, and it did change against the Clippers. That, you know, Kevon Looney, someone we haven't talked about yet, but he lost some weight and he's played very well, averaging 8 rebounds a game, had a really nice game yesterday, and got some center minutes over Draymond Green late in that loss to the Clippers.
Yeah, you know, aren't you happy for him? And that was one of the impacts of Chris Paul, about taking care of your body, and as you get older, you should get lighter, and you're more less susceptible to injury. And boy, he just, his motor, he's really moving well. Transition up and down, he's such a smart player, Kev. And I just think he's getting up his feet better and rebounding the ball better. And I thought he was a big key in the fourth quarter. He brought a lot of energy. And I can see him continuing to get solid minutes. And I certainly like the way Davis is playing, too. So the more that those guys can get that job done, and Draymond doesn't have to play five, I think it's better for Draymond's health as the season goes on.
Yeah, so he doesn't have to bang with an Ivica
exactly.
Zubats for like 20 minutes a game. And Zubats, I mean, he's a heck of a player, 23 points, 18 rebounds in that game. But, I mean, it feels like Kevon Looney has reinvented himself and revived his career like 3 or 4 times. Like, as a rookie, he barely played. And his first couple of years, his statistical profile was that of someone who wasn't going to get a second contract in the NBA. Nothing to his skill set and work ethic, like that was all there. But just, he didn't play a whole lot. And really wasn't until like that 17-18 season that he had some big defensive minutes in the playoff series against the Houston Rockets. He was able to kind of keep a Harden or a CP3 in front of him on switches. It's just a testament to Kevon Looney. How he's been able, this was a high school point guard, how he's turned his body, you know, into a big man, now losing the weight, just anything to keep his career going and be an impactful player.
Well, there's some guys that just have high basketball IQs, and that's been said of him. Gosh, I even heard it in his rookie year. Now, we know that coming out of UCLA that he had some hip issues, and, you know, that's sure is debilitating for his lateral movement, but you touched on a key point. He can really switch and defend on the pick and roll. He's really, really good at that. And I'm pulling for any guy that's from Milwaukee. I loved it there when I was there for 7 years. And you know what? He and Podzimski, both Wisconsin guys, there's something terrific about those guys. They just, that's a great state for basketball. So I'm really happy for him that he's back and going to have a nice place in the rotation.
All right, we'll take another break. Come on back. Talk about the Pelly Pels right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Join us live at Chase Center tomorrow, October 29th, is the touchdown of the New Orleans Pelicans. Get your tickets now at Warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives standing by back here on the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean with you. Hit us up, 888-957-9570. Again, that number, 888-957-9570. So, the New Orleans Pelicans in town. It's a home back-to-back Tuesday and Wednesday. Ever since the COVID season, we've seen more of these home back-to-backs against the same team. The Pelicans coming into this one 2-1 with wins over Chicago and a 22-point Chicago and Portland and a 22-point loss to Portland. So they've only played members of the 1992 NBA Finals series to this point in their season. But kind of the big thing for them, Saint, game one, DeJounte Murray goes down. He's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a broken left hand per Shams Charania, which is obviously that's a big loss for New Orleans in his first ever game as a Pelican, but still plenty of top-level firepower. C.J. McCollum leads the team in scoring more than 23 points per game. Brandon Ingram, and of course, Zion Williamson.
Well, Murray, you know, to me in Atlanta, playing with Young, that didn't work. And I think he's more of a point than a two. And I think McCollum prefers to be off the ball, but now he'll have to be the point of the attack. But I like that backcourt. And I'm a little surprised at how well Ingram's playing. You know, I thought there'd be some after effect from all the discussions about a new contract, but he's mature enough to say, hey, you know what? If I want to get a great contract, I've got to play great. And he's really played well. You know, the word is down there that Williamson is in not great shape, but really looks good, best he's looked. And they also are missing, is it Murphy, the shooter?
Trey Murphy, yeah.
Yeah, I like him a lot. That guy is a big-time shooter. He reminds me of the Murray up in Sacramento. And that to have those two guys out is big. And then they decided to go more small and let Valanciunas go to Washington. So, you know what? It's a team that you got a shot to beat. But, Kev, you know, you and I have discussed this in the past. It's hard to beat a team two nights in a row or play on a yes. Thursday and a Saturday, whatever, back-to-back. I like the concept of doing this. It saves wear and tear on the guys' bodies. Staying in the same city, but it's tough to, you know, beat them twice. And so the Warriors are going to have their hands full. This team here will be, you know, trying to get a play-in position, that kind of thing. They've been knocking on the door here, and I'm a Willie Green guy. I think he's a terrific guy, and I hope they have a good year.
You touched on something, which is why I thought the Clippers game was so essential for the Warriors to win. Because so many of these two-game sets, many baseball series, end in splits. And so now you're looking at a higher likelihood of 3-2 instead of 4-1, which I thought kind of the early goal from these first five games, just looking at the schedule, 4-1 seemed very doable. Now it's a little less doable, and especially so with Steph out.
Yeah, I think you're right on. But hey, let's hope the guys, and I'm telling you, a big part of a team is their ability to bounce back. And how do they bounce back? Because they believe in each other, and they stay positive. They don't dwell and point fingers. They get out there and get after it. You're at home, Chase fans. I think they're up for the task. I really do, because I don't know that they have the skill to pass the ball and move without the ball as well as the Warriors. So if the Warriors cut their turnovers down and they're just tough on the defensive board to get in the open floor, I think the Warriors can beat these guys. It's what you're going to do. Now, be interesting tomorrow night to watch, see what they do with Williams and how they're going to play him. He's so terrific at getting deep paint catches, Kev. And you can't really double team him because he catches so deep and he's so quick off his feet. So the old expression, you got to do your work early. You know, deny him the catches, get good position, know who's going to double if in fact you can, and rotate out of there quickly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because he's definitely a low down low and very explosive as an athlete. Jordan Hawkins for them off to a great start, the former national champion with
UConn
the UConn
guy.
Huskies. Yep, 18 a game off the bench, 53% from three in the Young campaign. Javonte Green, former Santa Cruz Warrior, I think a guy who can be a really good role player in the NBA. You mentioned Willie Green. That is a very Warrior-friendly staff. Jaren Collins is on that staff,
yes.
And two former Santa Cruz Warriors head coaches are on that staff.
Oh, wow.
In Casey Hill and Aaron Miles, those two actually, Aaron Good Miles succeeding Casey Hill as the Santa Cruz Warriors head coach. And Aaron was also an assistant under Steve Kerr for a couple of seasons. But letting you know about a couple of upcoming broadcasts presented by Ticketmaster. Now, again, tomorrow, the Warriors hosting the Pelicans. It's 7 p.m. on 95.7 The Game, 6:30 on the air with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert. Then then Wednesday, they're hosting the Pelicans again, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time on 95.7 The Game. That is Pride Night presented by Accenture. Then they start a five-game roadie, and it starts Saturday in Houston, 4:30 on the air, 5 p.m. tip time with Tim Roy on the call, 95.7 The Game, as you can catch all these games on the Warriors flagship station on 95.7 The Game. Then it continues in the nation's capital. The day before Election Day, they will be in D.C., 3:45 airtime, 4:15 tip time, bit of a different start time there from Washington. And then at Boston, the Celtics looking unbeatable right now. 3-0 and about to be 4-0. They're up 15 on the Bucks with 2:40 to go in that game. 4 p.m. airtime, 4:30 tip time on 95.7 The Game with the great Tim Roy on the call. So with these last few minutes, just want to get your thoughts, Zane, on what you've seen from around the NBA. The first thing for me, the Boston Celtics, we saw them against the Knicks on opening night, on ring night. Jason Tatum was stellar. He's had two 37-point games already this season. And are we just – is it the Celtics and everyone else in the East? I mean, that's what it looks like. Can anyone actually contend with them to take the Eastern Conference?
Well, I think New York, because of their discipline, toughness, competitiveness, they'll be the second team. I think Philadelphia's flirting with fire. I really do, with the George and Embiid situation. Maxie's playing out of his mind. And then up in Milwaukee, you know, they lose again. It just, you know, Middleton's not back. And, you know, teams look in sync. They look out of sync to me. Now, there's three teams there beyond those four that I'm not saying they're going to climb into the upper echelon, but Cleveland, Indiana, and Orlando. And Orlando may be the best of the three, then Cleveland, then Indiana. Those are good teams. And you can catch them on a night where they can really put up some points. So the East is much, much better. You know, out here, I think we got a feel as, you know, what's going to happen out here. I don't think anybody's shocking anybody. Although I will say what the Clippers done, it really, really impressed me. And this is going to hurt with Murray out for a month. You are right on. Watch Hawkins, the UConn guy. Yeah. He with Murray out, he's going to get a lot of minutes. I bet he scores a lot of points. He'd be a priority to me. I still think Sacramento's going to have a good year. The Lakers have surprised me, to be honest with you. I know my son Greg's not listening. They're 3-0, and they beat three good teams. You know, Minnesota, the Suns, and Sacramento. They're going to play the Suns here in a couple minutes. And, boy, Davis, making him the fulcrum of the wheel, J.J. Redick's done something really well there. Can they sustain it? Because they conversely, are opposite of the Warriors. Their bench is not very good, so they can't have a lot of injuries. Phoenix, you know, Beal misses the other night. They lose. They got all the pieces. They're bringing in Plumlee behind Nurkic, bringing in Jones and Morris at the point. They didn't have a point last year. There's no excuse down there. They should be really, really good. And I think Dallas, Clay's had a couple of good games. You know, I think they're going to be in that top four. And it's fun. You know, my wife looked at me yesterday or today, and she said, "Boy, you're just smiling." I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "Look at today. You got World Series. You got two Monday Night Football games. You got NBA. So how does it get better than this?" Nobody's got it better than us, Kev.
Yeah, that's the old Jim Harbaugh saying, right? There Who's got go. It better than us? Nobody. Well, a lot of people have it better than the Denver Nuggets right now. They're about to go to 0-3.
There's a good point, my man. Very good point. I don't know about Murray's knee, and I don't think, what's the kid's name, Braun? I don't think he's going to replace KCP. And then they lost Brown, and they lost Green, and they wanted to build with their young guys in with player development, and they're just not as good as those guys that left. And you know, I know who the front line is. I know who those three guys are. It's on the perimeter that's suspect to me in their depth.
Yeah, well, we're running out of time here on Warriors Roundtable. Quick shout out to Paolo Banchero, a 50 piece tonight.
Whoa.
In the Magic's 119-115 win. He had 50 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 blocks, and I believe 37 first half points for Paolo B.
Holy
so
mackerel.
The Magic now 3-1 with that win over the Pacers. So that'll do it for us. Big thank you to Mark Grandy behind the glass. Go Ducks. Big thank you to R.C. Davis on the Warriors side of things. Go Penn State, we are. Go Nittany Lions. And for Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Dennis saying sayonara. We will talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step left wing three. Cha-ching! 58-41. Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
Tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.